Hello everyone, welcome again to Crosspoint Church. For the past couple of years we've been working our way through the Gospel of Matthew. Sometimes we take a break and do some other things for a while, and then we return and do another section of the Gospel of Matthew. And so that's what we'll be doing for the next few weeks. We're partway through chapter 16 now, and we'll read up to the end of chapter 20 bit by bit. And then later on we'll return again and do the last section of Matthew, chapter 21 through to 28, which is the last week of Jesus' life leading up to and including the crucifixion and the resurrection. Now previously in the Gospel of Matthew we've read about the genealogy of Jesus, which some people might think is really boring, but in some cultures, Matthew chapter 1 is actually one of the most important and significant passages of the entire Bible. We read about the birth of Jesus, his baptism by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, his temptations in the wilderness in chapter 4. Then we read through the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most significant and most often quoted speeches in human history, a very powerful message from Jesus. And then after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was out and about in the community, performing miracles, doing more teaching. He told parables, he appointed 12 apostles, he fed 5,000 people with just a handful of food, he walked on water, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, he gave sight to the blind, lame people could walk, deaf people could hear, he calmed storms, he raised the dead. They were pretty exciting times. Jesus was out and about in the community doing a lot of good things. And he attracted a large following, partly because of the teaching. People were impressed with his teaching, but also because of the miracles. People came to Jesus because they wanted him to heal them, or they wanted him to heal their family member or their friend. And maybe some people just wanted to, you know, see the show. Now, some of those messages earlier on from the book of Matthew are available on our YouTube channel if you're interested, Crosspoint Church in Clyde. And now we're making them available, just the audio on our church website. And so today we get to a very pivotal passage in the whole Gospel of Matthew. Today's section, by the way, is Matthew chapter 16. We're reading verses 13 to 28. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, but whatever Bible you have, you can have that open in front of you as we go if you want to. So a very important passage, and it happens in a place called Caesarea Philippi. Now, if you've ever looked at a Bible map, that is up north, further north from Lake Galilee. And this is quite possibly the furthest that Jesus ever travelled from Jerusalem. Jesus spent most of his time in Galilee, with regular trips down to Jerusalem. Now in Matthew chapter 15, we read that Jesus had visited Tyre and Sidon, which are on the west coast against the Mediterranean Sea. And now here we are in chapter 16, and Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi. And after this chapter, he begins to head south again, back through Galilee down towards Jerusalem. Now the reason I mention Caesarea Philippi is because at Caesarea Philippi, there was a very massive wall of rock, a big rock, nothing like Uluru here in Australia, but a rock that's about 30 metres high and 150 metres across, and the whole town is built on and around this huge rock. And so it is almost certain that Jesus and his disciples would have seen that rock while they were there. Now Jesus often liked to use images and word pictures to make his point, and so it's highly likely that the disciples had seen this rock, or were even looking at the rock when they had the conversation that happens in this section. So verse 13 of Matthew chapter 16 says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' Well, they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.'" So Jesus, who referred to himself as the Son of Man, asks the disciples, "Who do people think I am?" Now Jesus quite likely already knew the answer, but he's starting this conversation because it has a point. Jesus is leading this conversation somewhere. Now the disciples tell Jesus that, you know, some people think he's John the Baptist, and others think he's Elijah, and others think he's Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Now, I don't think people are actually saying that they think John the Baptist is reincarnated as Jesus, because John the Baptist, you know, his life overlapped with Jesus for quite a long time. So they're not actually saying that, but they are saying that Jesus reminds them of these other historical figures. Now, John the Baptist, as you may recall, was the one who had baptized Jesus. John had already died before this. But when John was in public preaching, he had preached and told people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And so people heard John talking about this new kingdom, the new dawn, the new hope, a new beginning. And Jesus was just like that, because Jesus was preaching the same message. And some people thought Jesus was a likely Elijah, because Elijah was a prophet from way back in the book of 1 Kings in Old Testament times. And Elijah's ministry in his lifetime was associated with power and miracles, and some really amazing things happened in the life of Elijah. And people obviously saw that happening again in the time of Jesus and thought, wow, he reminds us of what it would have been like in Elijah's time. And Jeremiah was another prophet, and his lifetime was leading up to the conquest of Jerusalem and the exile to Babylon, and then through that time. And so Jeremiah was associated with preaching about reform and about having hope through hard times. And Jesus was also like that. And so Jesus did tick all of these boxes, but Jesus was a whole lot more than that. None of those answers gave the full picture of who Jesus was, because none of those other historical figures had done or could do everything that Jesus was doing. So who was Jesus really? Well, in verse 15, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And this is one of the most important questions in the whole Bible. Who do you say Jesus is? This is a question we all have to answer at some point in this life, because what we believe about Jesus will have eternal consequences. Now, there are some people who say Jesus is a fairy tale. I know the historical evidence proves that that is not true. It's a ridiculous thing to say, but there are some people who actually choose to think that. There are other people who say Jesus was a good man, maybe a great man. He was a wise teacher. He was a prophet. They'll say lots of nice things about Jesus, and that those things are true. But none of those answers give the full picture of who Jesus was. So Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And in verse 16, Simon Peter answered. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And that is a profound answer and an accurate answer. And there's two parts to that answer. Because yes, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one that Isaiah and all the other prophets had been predicting, had been foretelling for centuries. Jesus is the one the people have been waiting for, the Saviour, the Deliverer. And Jesus is also the Son of God. Jesus himself is divine. He is God. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter explains this again to a huge crowd of people, and he tells them that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. And those two words are both very, very important. To say that Jesus is the Christ means he is the Messiah. He is the one that the Old Testament has been predicting. And to say that Jesus is Lord means he is God, because Lord, you know, Yahweh is the Old Testament word for God, and there is only one God. The Lord is one. And so to say that Jesus is Lord means he himself is God. So yes, Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and yes, Jesus is indeed the Son of God. It's a very good answer there by Peter. And Jesus compliments Peter on his answer. In verse 17, Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Now, I mentioned before that this story happened in a place called Caesarea Philippi, and quite likely within sight of this huge rock. And so in the Greek language, Jesus is saying, "You are Petros," which is the Greek word for Peter. "You are Petros, and on this Petra," a rock, "I will build my church." It's a nice play on words to make a point, and Jesus loved to play on words like that. Of course, Jesus is not actually talking about building a church building that on the rock, because the church is the people of God. You know, the assembly of God's people is what Jesus is talking about. And so the church will be built on the truth of the statement that Peter has just made. The church will consist of the people who understand and accept what Peter has just said, that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. In verse 19, Jesus continues, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Now that last verse might seem strange. Why would Jesus tell them, don't tell anyone that I'm the Messiah? In fact, when you read the Gospels, Jesus often, he would heal people and he would say, tell them, but don't tell anyone. And you know what happened when Jesus said that? They would always go out and tell everyone they knew. Now, when I was younger, I used to think that Jesus was just using a bit of reverse psychology. You know, say, don't tell anyone. And of course, people are going to go out and tell everyone. But actually, no, I don't think that is what Jesus was doing. I think I do understand now why Jesus said that. Because people in Jesus' times, people knew a Messiah was coming. The prophets had been predicting it. They'd been waiting for this Messiah. But they didn't actually understand what that would look like when it finally happened. You know, people always interpret Bible prophecy into their own historical context. We still do it today with end time prophecy. We always try to interpret it in our own historical context. So at that time, when Jesus came to earth, the people thought the Messiah would be a great leader who would set them free from the Roman invaders. The people wanted the Messiah to be their new king. They wanted an earthly military leader, a warrior who would defeat their earthly enemies. That's what the people wanted, but that is not what Jesus intended. In John chapter 6, there's actually a story about a crowd of people who realized that Jesus must be the Messiah, and so they wanted to appoint Jesus as their king right then, by force, just to make him their king and their leader. And so Jesus had to actually withdraw up on the mountain by himself to get away from this crowd, because that is not what Jesus intended. So Jesus says to his disciples, do not tell anyone, because Jesus has bigger plans. Jesus has eternal plans. Jesus was here to save all of his people for all time, not just to rescue the Jewish people in that particular moment in history. Jesus came to save everyone who would believe in him. So Jesus doesn't yet want everyone to know that he is the Messiah, because he doesn't want all of the misunderstandings. Now, after the resurrection, but before Jesus went back to heaven, he asked his followers, he told his followers, you will be my witnesses. And he told them to go into all the world and to make disciples and to teach everyone about Jesus and teach everyone to obey the things that Jesus taught us. So that is true for us. With hindsight now, of course, we know, we can easily find out who Jesus is, that he is in fact the Messiah and the Son of the living God. And so therefore we should now be telling everyone about Jesus. But back then, when Jesus asked the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah, it was because Jesus still needed time to explain to them what that meant. Which leads us straight into the next section of today's reading, which is verse 21, which says, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead." So this is why Jesus came to earth. This is his purpose. This is his mission. To die, and by dying to take the punishment of sin upon himself. And so Jesus starts to explain to his disciples exactly what is going to happen. But in verse 22 says, "But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. 'Heaven forbid, Lord,' he said, 'this will never happen to you.' And Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's.'" So one moment, Peter is praised for knowing who Jesus was, and now he's reprimanded. See, Peter knew who Jesus was, but he still didn't understand what that meant. He still did not understand why Jesus was here on earth. Peter was still thinking of the Messiah from a human point of view and not from God's point of view. See, in Peter's mind, it seemed absolutely unthinkable that Jesus could die. How could Jesus die? And why? Why would anyone kill the Messiah? This was just inconceivable to Peter. You know, back in verse 21, it said that from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law, that he was going to die, but that he would also be raised from the dead. So this is a turning point in Matthew's gospel. Jesus has already demonstrated many times with his actions, he's demonstrated who he is. Now he's asked his disciples who they think he is, and Peter's answered correctly, Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Son of the living God. And so now that they understand who he is, Jesus starts to explain to them over and over what that means. Because Jesus knows the disciples will not expect him to be killed. It's going to take time for the disciples to grasp and absorb and understand what Jesus is saying to them. Of course, as it turns out, when we read the whole Gospels, you know, I don't think the disciples ever really understood what Jesus was talking about until he did rise from the dead. And then, of course, it finally sank in. You know, you can imagine them like, oh, now we get it. That's what he was saying all this time. You know, it just took them a while to understand. And sometimes in our lives, it takes us a while to understand what God is doing. But in this story, as soon as Jesus started to explain, he got a reaction and Peter took him aside and said, heaven forbid, Lord, it's never going to happen, because that is not what Peter or the disciples expected from the Messiah. It's kind of funny to think that Peter had just declared that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and now he tries to tell Jesus, no, you're doing it wrong. It seems crazy, doesn't it? Peter's gone from a building block to a stumbling block in one paragraph. And you know, you might laugh a little bit at Peter, but actually this is a very comforting story for us, because I think it's good to know that Peter didn't always get everything right, because I know most of us, well, let's be honest, we don't always get everything right, do we? I know for certain in my life there's been times when I have questioned God's methods, and I've thought, why is this happening? You know, why isn't that happening instead? You know, I think I've got a much better idea. But experience has taught me that God's way is always right, and God always knows best. So because Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of the living God, we can know that Jesus knows what he's doing. And because he's the Son of God, and because he knows what he's doing, we need to trust him. We can learn from Peter and from our own experiences that God knows best. We don't need to tell God that he's doing it wrong. There's a very good chance that we might be doing something wrong, but not God. In verse 24 we read, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? To be good at anything requires effort, doesn't it? And commitment. You know, if you want to be good at music, if you want to be good at sport, if you want to excel in your career, if you want to succeed at parenthood, you know, whatever it is that you set out to achieve, if you want to be good at that thing, it's going to take effort and commitment and dedication. And Jesus says if we want to follow him, we need to commit to it. And following Jesus is not always going to be easy, but it is worth it. And Jesus says, what's all the other stuff worth if we lose our soul? And it's true that at times the cost of following Jesus may seem high, but it is a great investment. The rewards are literally out of this world. And there may be some short-term pain, but there will definitely be long-term, eternal gain. So following Jesus is worth it. You know, if we live for this life, we will lose it. We all know we're going to lose this life eventually. We're all going to die. So don't invest everything you have into this life. Because now this life can provide some good moments, for sure. Some people get wealthy, some people live comfortably, some people have fame and popularity and earthly success. But there's no guarantees of any of those things. And even if you do achieve it, you can't take any of that with you. This life, there can be moments of joy in this life, but heaven is going to be a whole lot better. The fullness of joy. And if we lose our life, if we lose this life for Jesus, we find true life, a better life, eternal life. Jesus concludes this passage in verse 27. He says, "For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds." So Jesus is just ending this little speech with some reassurance for his disciples and for us that he will come back. His followers will inherit the kingdom. And yes, following Jesus may require us to, you know, figuratively take up our cross. There may be some sacrifices along the way, but it will be worth it. And the last verse is verse 28. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And indeed, that did happen. Some of the disciples saw the transfiguration, which is in next week's chapter, which we'll read about then. Most of the disciples, apart from Judas, they all saw him after he had risen from the dead. And most of them would have seen him ascend back to heaven. They certainly saw Jesus in his glorified state. So the statement was a reassurance to the apostles, yes, Jesus is going to die, but the story will not end with the crucifixion. That just leads to the resurrection, which will be the beginning of the real story. So the key verse of this whole passage was back in verse 15 and 16. "Who do you say that I am?" asked Jesus. "Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God." Nothing we think can ever change that. That's just a historical fact. But we need to respond to that fact. You know, there are some people nowadays who think that they can find truth within themselves. But it's not true. The only lasting truth is what we find in the Word of God. Now, because Jesus is the Messiah, he told the disciples that he needed to go to Jerusalem to die, but that his death would not mean defeat. His death would actually enable the ultimate victory. And also because Jesus is the Messiah, his followers will get persecuted. But also because Jesus is the Messiah, this persecution will be bearable and it will be worth it. So the real question we all need to answer is, who do you say Jesus is? And are you prepared to take up your cross and follow Jesus? You know, if you think Jesus was a prophet or a teacher or a really great guy, well, yes, that is partly right. But Jesus is more than that. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. And that is very important. The Bible also says Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only name by which people can be saved from the consequences of our sin. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And how we respond to Jesus is very important. It has eternal consequences. So if you don't know Jesus, then please read your Bible. Start with the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Read the New Testament, read the whole Bible, and then read it all again. And when you find the real Jesus, you will find the truth. And I pray that you do.